What is up, people? You are listening to another episode of the Imperial Broadcast. I'm your host, Shamari Stewart, joined as always by my co-host, Kendall Stewart. Kendall, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, Shamari, it's been a little bit. Been on a little bit of a hiatus, but the best part about a hiatus is there's plenty to talk about. Too many topics to talk about. Not going to be able to get to everything that's happened in the Star Wars universe over the past few months, but we've got a quick roundup show where we're going to talk about three major trailers that dropped over the course of the last couple of weeks and months. Particularly on the TV side, on the streaming side, we've got The Acolyte in terms of live action that dropped about a month ago. We've got Tales of the Empire, which is supposed to be, I guess, Tales of the Jedi Season 2, which we're going to talk about as well. And then recently in the last week or so, we also had a trailer to Star Wars Outlaws, the newest installment in the Lucasfilm gaming world. So a lot of stuff has happened. Again, there's been miscellaneous news and stuff, and Bad Batch Season 2 is wrapping up, and I got to catch up in Bad Batch before we can really dive into that. Bad Batch Season 3, rather, I should say. But I got to finish that before we can really dive into that. But yeah, we've had plenty of things, man. There's been movie news. Patty Jenkins is talking about Rogue Squadron might be back. Daisy Ridley's been talking a lot about, you know, her, you know, Rise of Skywalker, you know, sequel, whatever they're calling it. New Jedi Order. So yeah, there's been plenty of stuff to talk about, but particularly in this episode, we'll be talking about a lot of trailers.
Yep. You pretty much wrapped it up, Kendall. So we're basically going to be discussing those three trailers that dropped. As you said, there is a lot that has happened. We will not be able to catch up to all of it. Kendall's going to be catching up in Bad Batch, and we'll have more than likely a season review, probably.
At that point, probably series review, because that would be the series finale.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, season/series review.
Yeah.
You know, which the last time we did that was either Clone Wars.
Resistance.
I was going to say Resistance. You know, that was the last big, that was last series.
That was kind new of a sad, series. Yeah, dark review.
Yeah, that one wasn't as, again, what? Not, the again, I always preface that with the audience, the intended audience for Resistance was not me and other older Star Wars
fans. That show would have aired on Disney Junior instead of Disney XD, which is probably like, look, Disney XD isn't exactly like
adult.
Like, yeah, it's not some dark, you know, gritty. Exactly. It's not you know channel.
Adult Swim, right?
But you know, it followed up Rebels, you know, and Rebels. While Rebels wasn't, you know, the darkest thing, like, it had plenty of moments.
Very dark moments for sure.
You know, and so
and Resistance had its drips and drops of dark moments as well.
Yeah, I mean, just very minor dabs. It dipped its toe in some of that stuff where you're like, oh, this could be a good show.
Yeah.
You know, if the rest of the 99% wasn't like, you know, Hype Faison, right, you know, and whatever the other green guy's name was.
You know, Kaz slipping and falling and
exactly,
breaking an ankle.
That, you know, that was the last, like you said, last major, like, you know, animated review that we did. That was a whole series. And this one would be a lot more serious in terms of what we can dissect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of interesting stuff going on there, but
yes.
But yeah, no. But you know, we got our first look at The Acolyte, man.
We did.
And this is a show that we've been talking about for a couple years at this point. You know, been a little bit, probably the most controversial show in the in the Lucasfilm space.
Yeah, I mean, in the controversy, mostly, I believe, surrounding comments that Leslie Headland had said at various points throughout the development and speculation.
Yeah, and I'll preface controversial, like, we never really found anything controversial. I mean, there were some aspects of it.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think she said a few things, like, very early on.
Right.
Was she the one that she was saying stuff about, like, George or
she was the one saying that, I believe.
This was way before, like, this trailer. Like, was, like, years ago. Yeah. I remember we talked about it.
Yeah, she was the one that was talking about not really needing Star Wars fans.
Yeah, she was saying stuff like that, and I was like, why is she saying that?
We don't want people that are Star Wars fans working on our shows.
Yeah, which that was very problematic to me. I didn't like that at all. So I don't know. There has been a history.
Yeah. Now again, some of the stuff has been some of the you know, culture wars, political.
Well, yeah.
Stuff,
so yeah, some of that stuff. Like, I'm just like,
she's Kennedy's new, brainchild, and you know.
Yeah, which I mean, we don't know
whatever conspiracies people have about. Yeah. You know, that's why when the show was announced, people were just like, oh, woke Star Wars show. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, we, yeah.
You know, I mean, what are we basing it because it's a female-led property? You know, I don't know. So, yeah. Again, there's been sort of a little bit of a, okay, it's been polarizing. I put it that way. You know, I think most people are willing to give it a chance.
I don't know how many of, like, those Star Wars fans actually represent the general
population. Right. How many of them care? Like, at that point, it's like, are you actually a Star Wars fan?
Like, how many Star Wars fans see a female protagonist and immediately go,
right,
what is going on here? Right. Like, I'm not
probably
taking
a loud minority.
Yeah. I'm not taking as seriously.
But then we got our first kind of rollout of this at, I believe, a Celebration last year, where we got, like, the cast and we started to hear more about what the show would actually be about. And we, you know, the first thing we had heard was Kathleen Kennedy talking about it being a High Republic era, you know, show. Yes. And that, so we, you know, we've had that in the back of our minds for a while. But, you know, Shamar, you're the High Republic guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've read a lot of the High Republic
content
that is out there. This is our second foray besides the, you know, whatever, the Young Jedi Adventure show, whatever it's out there. This is our second foray into the High Republic in a visual media. That's not a comic. What is your initial reaction to seeing this?
It's good. You know, I mean, I don't think it.
Did it feel High Republic?
The robes look High Republic for sure. Now this is it's weird because this is taking place
at
the back end. That's what they make that very clear in the announcements and stuff. This is not like in the midst of the High Republic. So if this there's a chance that this is mostly High Republic in name, and that this is more leading into the prequel, kind of Sith, Phantom Menace type of conflicts that we're kind of more familiar with.
Yeah.
If there's any kind of hint of that, any hint of like Sidious or young Sidious, I don't know.
Sidious is definitely a guy that people have speculated might be on the board.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, again, when they start saying tail end of the High Republic,
right?
That tells me where Sidious, or like, is there a chance? I mean, it gets weird because of his age. I'd have to look at the specific things of like how old he was in the Phantom Menace,
right?
What exactly is considered quote unquote prequel era,
right?
And what exactly is considered quote unquote High Republic era,
right?
Yeah, but you have to start asking those questions. It's like, listen,
there was a quote that came out this week. I don't remember who said it, but somebody working on the show that said that they consider it sort of a prequel to the prequel.
Right.
And when you hear that, that suggests that there's going to be tie-in to the prequel movies in some sense. Maybe not. Maybe they're just saying it's taking place before the prequels.
But I mean, I think it would be, I don't know if I'd say a missed opportunity, but I think it would be very wise of them to do that. I think that would be very cool. Now, I would also like to see High Republic tie-ins. You know, if there's even mentions, and I'm not even saying they have to dive in and show us stuff from the books and stuff, but even mentions to some of those events and groups.
We got at least one official tie-in.
Yes.
In the form of Renestra Rall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a character, obviously, Shamar, you're very familiar with.
Yep.
They came out right out, and you know, more of a hidden figure in the trailer, but then they also had images online that they released that gave you clearer shots of her character.
Yes, yeah. So we got Renestra Rowe, no hair. So that's definitely a new look, interesting choice. She, for those of you listening that may not know, she uses a lightsaber that turns into a light whip in the books. So that is something that I am somewhat expecting to see. And if we don't see it, that will be a criticism 100%.
Missed opportunity.
Absolutely a missed opportunity. Why would you not take the opportunity to show us that. I think that may be a big reason why she's in the show.
Yeah, it's like, don't you want to sell toys?
I mean, honestly.
Don't you want to sell figures? Don't you want to sell lightsabers?
Yeah, honestly. It really is to that point where it's like, why would you have this character show up, of all the High Republic characters, and then not show what, quite frankly, is the coolest thing about this character?
Right. Like,
why would you not do that? This doesn't make any sense.
Right, right.
So I am expecting to see that, and I think that will be a big highlight. I remember reading about the light whip in, like, the Jedi... not the Jedi training books, but like the older, there's like a Jedi book, a Sith book, like a bounty hunter book, an Empire book written by Daniel Wallace. And they were written like in the very possibly maybe when after Disney bought Star Wars, but like before any of the sequel stuff actually came out, I think.
Right.
So I don't know if it's all still canon or not. But I'd have to check on the exact timeline of when they were released. But they go into the origins of the Jedi and the different types of lightsabers. And the light whip is one of the things that's mentioned in there. And I've seen it. And, of course, it's been in Legends and other things as well. It's just a really cool weapon and something that it would have been a long time coming for us to see. So I'm looking forward to seeing that for sure. What did you think of some of the things that we saw in the trailer, Ken?
Well, I mean, look, for me, I think the biggest takeaway that I think all Star Wars fans could connect to, even if you're not a High Republic, knowledgeable person, the first takeaway is a lot of lightsabers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we haven't had that visual really, again, since the prequels. And maybe that's just what they meant by prequel to the prequels, is that it's going to have a little bit of a prequel feel to it, even if it's not directly tied in. Now, if we're talking about tying into the prequels, again, Palpatine is a character that is on the board. We don't know what the age thing and when this actually takes place, but obviously that's somebody that would make a lot of sense, especially since when Kennedy announced that, which was a long time ago. We already know Kevin Feige. We already know some of the stuff. Like, they were rushed into a lot of those announcements. So, you know, is Lando still a thing? Is Rangers New Republic? I don't know if any of that stuff's still on the board, but... But when Kennedy made the announcement of this show at Disney Investor Day years ago, she said, you know, a dark, you know, mysterious presence, you know, makes itself known at the end of the High Republic era or something along those lines. So was she referring to whoever this main character, acolyte character is? Or was she referring to somebody else? You know, was she referring to somebody like Palpatine potentially? So, he's the next big bad at some point coming up in that Star Wars, in that timeline. So, but if there's someone else, I'd be like, well, where were they during the during Phantom Menace? Yeah,
exactly.
So, Palpatine's on the board. I think an easy one that we talked about for months on this show, or years really, that is not in this trailer is a little baffling to me. We don't know, again, some of the timeline stuff, how some of the stuff works, but Yoda's not in it. And to me, Yoda feels like a layup to be in this kind of a show. Now, I understand, like, we don't need to just play the hits constantly. We don't need Yoda and Baby Yoda and everything. But, like, this is a show that has no recognizable Star Wars characters or brands. You know, we had a Wookiee in there, right? Jedi. That's a kind of a recognizable visual, kind of a cool.
And there is a Wookiee Jedi in the High Republic, but this is not that. This is not Bur Yaga. This is not that Wookiee Jedi.
Okay.
Apparently, there's another Wookiee Jedi. So there's several Wookiee Jedis now that we know of.
Right. And so, you know, but I just think it would have been interesting, you know, and I think it would have sold to maybe your casual viewer. That, like, it's like, oh, this is a new Star Wars show. What's in this show? Oh, Yoda's in it. Oh, that's cool. Young Yoda, pre Phantom Menace. That, you know,
I don't know. I feel like they still have some kind of hang up with this CGI Yoda that
I don't think they know what they want to do.
They don't know what they want. Again, it's all just. I don't know. I'm not even going to go on my rant about how Disney isn't creative and they just go by based on what the market trends and what is selling toys.
Yeah,
it's like there's no creative drive. There's no
It might contradict what they're doing with Grogu if they then have CGI Yoda jumping around doing backflips.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so they don't. I hate to be very anti-Disney sometimes, but they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes I'm like, this. You can't have, like, I feel like they would. I feel like they would prefer to put a puppet Yoda in.
CGI Yoda would look so much better now.
That would look so much better.
And it looks so much better now than it did back then.
Yeah, they can make it look a million times better.
Like, look at how Zeb looked in Mandalorian. Look at, you know.
And again, you had a CGI Yoda with the High Republic robes. And he actually has those robes in, like, the books and stuff. It would just look awesome.
Look at, you know, the end of Captain Marvel 2. You know, the Marvels, where we got a CGI character in the post-credits scene.
Even the tiny bit of CG Yoda that we got in the Star Wars Eclipse trailer.
Yeah.
That was CG Yoda. That was not a puppet Yoda.
Yeah.
That is going to be a CG. Obviously, it's a video game. It's going to be a CG Yoda.
Right. It's going to be that design.
It's not going to, face going to be all scrunchy and weird like the puppet Yoda that we got.
They're not using that design.
They know that design is not cool. It's not. It doesn't look as good. It doesn't look as good. I don't know what these, like, a lot of the people that are like, oh, my nostalgia, my da da da. It doesn't look as good.
And, you know, I'm fine with the puppet Yoda in the sense of, like, if you want to do kind of like the older.
Like, did they use a puppet Yoda in the movies? Or am I bugging?
Which movie?
In like the what was it, The Last Jedi or whatever? Skywalker?
Did we see Yoda?
We definitely saw Yoda. I forgot.
I think we only got a voice. We got a visual of Yoda in Rebels. And that Rebels kind of used puppet Yoda. It was hard to tell, but like it was all CG, but like we got Ezra talking to Yoda. And I think we got Yoda's voice
I might be bugging.
With Frank Oz. You know, but we had a million voiceovers in that movie.
They did use puppet Yoda.
They used puppet
Yoda. I'm not going crazy. They used puppet Yoda.
Really interesting.
Yeah, in The Last Jedi. I was gonna say I could have swore we saw Yoda. Wait, hold on, let me get the picture. Our listeners, I'm doing this in real time, so give me a second.
Like, I don't remember the scene. but I don't really rewatch movies that much.
We are going to keep it real on this show. Okay, yeah. We do not rewatch the sequel trilogy very often. Judge us if you'd like.
I forgot Yoda showed up in those. But again, it makes sense because I see what you're talking about. Yeah. And look, like I was going to say before, I think. Puppet Yoda makes sense, right? Yeah, he makes sense when you're doing the old hermit character.
Sure, and I know exactly. If you're doing that version of Yoda,
right?
Fine.
Where it's like, I've been on Dagobah for X amount of years. I'm old.
Yeah,
I'm
that's just, fine.
But like, this is supposed to be prime Yoda. Like, why it would make no sense why he looks older as you know in the High Republic than he does in the prequels.
Exactly.
You know, it wouldn't make any sense. So, yeah, I mean. Like, could they get away with it? Sure. Like, if you're not going to have them doing anything, like, you could probably get away with it.
No, just do the CG Yoda. Just give us CG. Especially we have all these other characters with lightsabers and stuff.
Because they literally did it in Phantom Menace. They had Puppet Yoda.
Yes, and then they changed it.
Yeah, they were like, we got to change it. It's not as cool. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know? And it got all the kind of weird, like, kind of fanboys upset or whatever. Right. But, like, who cares?
And it's like, because they also know, like they weren't going to change every single time Yoda showed up. Because they're like, all right, may not make as much sense for the original trilogy.
Yes.
But for the prequels, this doesn't look right.
Yes.
We have way more technology now.
Exactly.
Just have everything sync up.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 100,000% certain that's the issue. Right. With Yoda, they don't know how to make him look. They don't know what they want to do, and it should be an easy decision. We're gonna put CG Yoda. He's gonna have his lightsaber. He's gonna have awesome scenes fighting alongside all these other Jedi, and that's what it's gonna be. You know, like that's it.
Because Yoda is the easiest character to put in something like this. Because again, all you gotta do is get Frank Oz, and if Frank Oz really doesn't, if he's like retired, like I don't want to do it, find somebody else. But like
exactly.
You don't need him, like, he doesn't have to look the same. Like, you're not like, oh, man, we got to recast or, you know, use some sort of, you know, deep fake technology or you don't have to mess around with that kind of stuff when it comes to Yoda's character.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the one that I look at and I say, just from a business standpoint, I mean, story, you know, alone, I understand, but, like, business-wise, I'm like, that seems like a missed opportunity. Because that's really my question with the show is just going to be, like, are people really going to be locked in for this? And I there's nothing in the trailer as I think it's a solid trailer, but really how I judge trailers when it comes to like superhero movies, Star Wars movies, stuff like that, is especially live action. Maybe, you know, animated is a little different, but with live action, I look at it and I say, would I be shocked if this were bad? Or vice versa, would I be shocked or surprised if this were like really good?
Yes.
And for me right now, it can go either way. Like, what I saw is so vague. That's really why. So we really have no idea what the story is about. So as long as we know nothing about what the story is about, it's hard for me to say, like, this thing's going to be the greatest show ever. There's no way this fails. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what it's about. On the flip side, it looks cool, so I can't say, like, yeah, it's definitely going to be bad. But it still remains to be seen. Like, we need to know more about what the actual story is. And we just need more of the, like, the main characters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And just very quickly before we wrap up on The Acolyte, there's, of course, a big question lingering. Who is this person, The Acolyte,
to? Yeah, who's Stenberg playing?
Are they an acolyte of Plagueis? Right. I feel that's a question that needs to be asked. You know, if we're pre-Palpatine, Plagueis was a Sith before Palpatine.
Yes.
So, like, what, you know, how does that line up? Right, where is Plagueis? Is this where we see Plagueis in canon, finally?
I believe so.
That would make sense to me. Unless they just have him, you know, be some kind of, you know, shadowy kind of Wizard of Oz type character that we just never see.
Because we talk about it, I talk about it a lot on Hero Talk, but when we were making these movies and these projects, Lucasfilm and Marvel and DC, and you know, James Gunn said it when he was on Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, but you have to ask yourself the question, why are we making this?
Exactly.
And for Lucasfilm, they had to ask themselves years ago, why are we making this show? Mm-hmm. And there has to be a reason. It can't just be, you know, because like they could have told this story on Star Wars Vision. They could have did like a 5-minute, you know, short or a 20-minute short on this concept of some, you know, Sith, you know, apprentice, you know, whatever. We see that all stuff all the time. We see shorts, you know, on Knights of the Old Republic, stuff like that, where it's like just, you know, random kind of non-canon stuff that happens. Mm-hmm. What about this, you know, is this to showcase the High Republic? I guess that's part of it. But, like, what about this is going to tie into the stuff that we've seen? You know, or is going to, what opportunity is it just to introduce a new character that they think has potential to be major? Or is part of it being like, yeah, this is also going to be the origin of how we get to Plagueis and then eventually how we get to Palpatine. And it's all going to kind of tie in. That would be a major purpose for this show. If someone like Darth Plagueis shows up and that's his introduction. If this is all just original characters that we've never seen before, I almost find that hard to believe that this would have gotten greenlit.
That's fair. I mean, I know it has a lot of High Republic tie-in, but there has to be some kind of... I would think there have to be some kind of other payoff.
Right. Because, like, Mandalorian. Like, Mandalorian, that would have been the question of Mandalorian. It's like, why are we making this? And, like, you know, before the show came out, we had no idea. It was like, I don't know, this guy's just a random Mandalorian, you know, bounty hunter guy or whatever. Know,
why aren't you making a Boba Fett show?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But then you see, like, for episode one, you see Baby Yoda, and you're like, well, that's what
I'm doing. And then you see Luke come
back. Yeah, then you see Luke at the end of season 2. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, and Ahsoka comes back. You know, that makes sense. Like, it starts to make sense why, you know, they made that show.
Yeah.
Around Din Djarin. It wasn't about Din Djarin. Like, Din Djarin was the vessel for getting to this other stuff. So that's what I'm wondering, like, what about this show is important outside of The Acolyte? Or is The Acolyte the really big thing? And what if it is, why? Why? Exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, those are questions that we definitely need answered for sure. I would think that we see Plagueis just timeline-wise. I don't really see, like, that would need to be explained. Or the exact, like, I would need, like, BBY, like, dates for, like, what, like, when exactly is it taking place so that I can go on Wikipedia and see timeline-wise.
Where was this with Yavin?
Yeah, you know, where did this take place? Where was Plagueis during all this, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, those are all answers.
Now, you know what would be interesting? You know, obviously, this is going to be a very Sith-centric story, or at least somewhat, we assume. This would have been a great time, Shamari, to for them to have released a season two of Tales of the Jedi and make it Tales of the Sith.
Ah, yes. Which, you know, of course, is a great transition, of course, to our next topic, which is Tales of the Empire.
Yes.
Did
not happen, apparently.
Yeah, so that did not happen. You know, which is unfortunate, in my opinion. But we do have Tales of the Empire. So as far as we know now, and Kendall, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if this is being confirmed, but we know we're getting two shorts. At least two shorts, or two stories being told in shorts. I don't know if it will just be limited to two shorts, but there's two stories being told in shorts regarding Morgan Elsbeth from Ahsoka, who the Mandalorian, I believe, in that episode of the Mandalorian that Ahsoka showed up in.
Yes.
Who we know is from Dathomir, and about Barriss Offee.
Yeah, Barriss Offee.
Who we've talked about Barriss Offee, you know,
numerous times,
speculated that this is where she's going to show up in The Mandalorian. This is where she's going to show up in Book of Boba Fett. This is where she's going to show up
in Ahsoka.
This is where she's going to show up. Like, we're just speculating where she's going to show up. Here's where she shows up, Kano.
Yeah.
Back in animation.
She was, so Barriss Offee was the one who saved Grogu from the Jedi Temple. And she was Merrick in Ahsoka.
Of course.
You know, and she's probably three or four other characters that we speculate.
She was that Inquisitor from Rebels, that nameless, faceless Inquisitor from Rebels. So
we're finally getting an answer to what happened.
No, we are getting an answer, and it looks like she was an Inquisitor. Right. So we weren't totally off.
Right, right.
We were kinda right.
And is it out of the question that she was one of those characters that we've seen? I mean, I don't know.
Is it out of the question? I don't know.
Is she Merrick? I mean, I don't think so. But like, you
know. Well, I don't think she's Merrick.
I feel like that would have been
turned into a ghost, or
right? I feel like that would have been like revealed in that show.
Yeah,
you know? No, like, yeah, it would be weird to then, yeah,
to then gonna afterwards reveal. Oh, actually, yeah, that was her.
Yeah,
like no, I don't think she's Merrick. But she was an Inquisitor, so that is something that we look forward to seeing.
What's your impression, man? Is this a thumbs up, thumbs down?
It looks great. My impression on it itself is great.
Okay.
Missed opportunity for Tales of the Sith, though. Still very much a missed opportunity. Tales of the Sith would have been better, and if we get that, it probably will be better.
What is your framework for Tales of the Sith? Like, what characters are on the board for stories that you'd want to see?
They could open the floodgates. We can get so many
Revan,
Bane, Malgus, Plagueis, Sidious. We have so much we don't know about Sidious. Maul.
Right.
You know, we got Dooku's story, I guess, but I mean, we can get more Sith Dooku. There's so much. It's endless.
Right. The only thing is, obviously, the precedent that they've set with this and then the last season,
and Vader,
importantly, of course, but yeah, Vader, yeah. is Snoke considered a Sith? I don't know, but
I mean, Snoke is Palpatine, so I guess, I guess technically, yeah.
You know, I think that the precedent that they've set with this series is that it's characters that we've seen, you know, they haven't necessarily delved into the legends or like the characters that we haven't necessarily seen in a popular medium yet, so that
I think that's a mistake.
I think
they need to reverse that thinking.
You know,
this could be a very good avenue to actually introduce, because if they're scared of, oh, if I just do a show on Revan, or if I just do a show on Darth Bane,
right,
and people don't know who he is, then are people going to care?
Right.
If you use, again, the Ahsoka route,
right?
Ahsoka was introduced in animation. Over time, now everyone wants to see Ahsoka. Everyone loves Ahsoka. You know, Rosario Dawson jumps into her role. It's a seamless fit. So they need to reverse that thinking. Right. So, yeah, I think we absolutely should have gotten, and should still get, Tales of the Sith.
And I think that if there's somebody that's what you wanted to see, I think you should be encouraged by this because they easily could have just did Tales of the Jedi Season 2. Yep. And just did two other Jedi.
Yep.
Or Tales of the, Rebellion, which still may happen. But which, like,
look, I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't have minded that either. Right. That's what I thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, are we getting, you know, Kit Fisto? You know, are we getting the other homie from Dark Disciple? Quinlan Voss? You know, like, there's any number of Jedi that we could still get. We're getting Grogu.
Yeah.
You know, of all people. I mean, there's a long list of Jedi still that we don't know a whole lot about, that we may have seen a little bit in Clone Wars, but we can actually get, like, deeper dives into their character.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, with what I saw from Tales of the Empire, you know, this is one where I'm like, the Morgan Elsbeth stuff, I'm like, was anybody really asking for this?
Really, Kendall? You know, it's funny, Kendall. I'm kind of feeling the opposite.
Really?
I'm a little more intrigued by that than maybe some of the Ophi stuff. Especially, it's like, okay.
We were asking about Ophi.
People were asking about Ophi.
Right.
But, I mean, the answer is, okay, she was an Inquisitor. She probably got
killed. Right, right. It's kind of like
you know, it's like, we've seen that story.
And it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the last thing, where it's like, with Barriss Ophi, because it's very kind of point blank, we know why they're telling the story.
No, and she's probably not going to interact with Ahsoka.
Right.
If she interacts with Ahsoka, then it's like, all right, then I'm strapped in, I'm buckled in.
The way Lucasfilm operates, man, I know this is a kind of a smaller project, but the way Lucasfilm operates, man, everything's on the board. Like, Filoni's not afraid to just be like, yep, this happened. You know, once we saw Obi-Wan fight Vader for a second time, even though it didn't make any sense, like, that's what we knew. Anything's on the board in terms of this character randomly interacting with this character.
I mean, again, if that happens,
we saw Ahsoka then interact with Vader, you know, multiple times at this point.
But my thing with the Elsbeth joint is, okay, so first of all, she's mingling with Thrawn. I got to see that.
Okay.
I got to see how their relationship was built. And more Thrawn is always good to me.
New Thrawn design, by the way.
New Thrawn design, interesting.
It took me a second.
Yeah, it took me a second to, I was like, ooh, what happened to this?
Recalibrate.
Definitely not the Rebels version.
Rebels Thrawn was clearly like, we don't know who's playing Thrawn, so we can kind of get generic.
He's just generic kind
of. And then they're like, now let's just make it Lars Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Which is an interesting design.
Elon Musk Thrawn.
Then we got the so we're gonna see the destruction of Dathomir, which was shown in the Son of Dathomir comic.
Yep.
And talked about in the Clone Wars as well. So we get to see that. We see Grievous on Dathomir. So that's something that will be good to see. And Morgan Elsbeth was there, apparently. And we see her fighting Grievous. And I'm like, okay, so this is real.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be cool. And we get to see some of her kind of other stuff. Her after that, with whatever act she's committing for the Empire, maybe seeing her interact with those witches, possibly we maybe find out who those witches are.
Right.
So there's some stuff there. I'm like, okay.
It does feel like they're using this to help set up their Mandalorian, their Mandoverse, their whatever Ahsoka season 2.
Right.
Maybe some other stuff.
Did she die? I'm sorry. Can you refresh my memory?
I believe we're supposed to believe she's dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe she did perish, if I'm not mistaken.
So that was part of the reason why I was like, really? We're getting more Morgan Elsbeth? Like, it felt like it was going backwards in that sense.
Yes.
Now, again, there may be some stuff there that helps tie into Ahsoka season 1, season 2. When we get that. With Barriss Ophi, I think my question is, while I say, yes, we know why we're getting this story, I think the bigger question is, like, is this only for people that watch Clone Wars, or is there going to be more payoff down the line? I think that would be the question.
That's the big question.
You know, now, not
especially if the story, like you said, or like I said, is that she was an Inquisitor. You know, and it's like, well, I mean, if she was an Inquisitor,
are we going to see...
Did she, like, escape the Inquisitorius? They didn't last. Right. So, what did she leave?
Right.
I mean, the Inquisitor, the route of an Inquisitor is death, basically. Right. From everything I've seen in Rebels and in the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor games, these Inquisitors are getting taken out. So, they do a little work here and there, and in the comics too, and then they get taken out. So, you know, if that was her fate, then... You know, it is what it is. I don't know I don't know what that story, what that story will show, but I'm hoping that she honestly just escapes the Inquisitors. I mean, that's not where you want to be.
Right.
You know, it'll be cool to see, I guess, how that goes. But I mean, if she's just Inquisitor, like, oh, I'm an Inquisitor for life, then her fate is death, basically.
Were there any other characters that they could have done with Tales of the Empire?
Thrawn. Concept. I mean, that's the first one.
They should have done. They probably should.
They should have done. They should have done Thrawn. They should have done Thrawn instead of Morgan Elsbeth.
They must have.
Like, oh, I don't know why they did Morgan Elsbeth but not Thrawn.
They must have larger plans for Thrawn. We know they do, but like they must.
Well,
they must have larger plans to a point where they're just like, we don't want to reveal anything.
I suppose. I mean, they could have shown other random battles or something.
Like, plus, he's already been so fleshed out.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's been like 6 novels.
Yeah, I'm like, so it's like, there's anything you really want to know about Thrawn? Read it in a book. Now that where sometimes it gets to like, should you have just retold some of those stories from the book in animation?
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, I think people would have been cool with that.
Yeah, that his stories are fantastic. All of his novels are great.
You know,
I hope Denis Dijon had a hand in some of this a little bit.
Yeah,
and some of the Ahsoka stuff.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, Thrawn's the main one. But I mean, you could have done Tarkin.
True.
He's, you know, Tarkin. That would be cool. Kind of is what he is, but
his book is fantastic.
Could have did Tarkin. Kallus.
Yeah, could have been Tarkin. Could have done Tarkin. Could have done Kallus. Could have done that homie from Andor. That security guy. The guy that was eating cereal with his mom.
Yeah.
With the blue milk.
Yeah.
Could have done him.
Obviously, Krennic and those types.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Could have done Krennic. What's it called? Could have done Ray Sloan. That's another one.
Yeah. That goes back to another character that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. I have to finish Squadrons. I know she was in that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I believe. I'm almost certain she was in that game.
Remember, we thought she was in Resistance for a second.
Yes. Yeah, we did. I mean, I guess, I was going to say First Order. I mean, they could, I guess, technically do Tales of the First Order, but yeah.
No one wants to see that.
I don't want to see that. I'm sorry. I'm not that interested in that. But yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot that they could still do with these shows. I'm looking forward to seeing Tales of the Empire. Seeing where they can go from that. The next channel, we got Star Wars Outlaws. So we got a story trailer for Star Wars Outlaws. Which was kind of just setting the scene. Didn't really go into too much detail, which is probably good. So that probably means that they don't have too much that they want to spoil. So that's pretty good. So they showed a little bit of what we can expect. There's a very, very little bit of, I believe her name is Kay Vess.
Kay Vess, yeah.
And she is an outlaw, as the title would suggest. And she either double-crossed or took from this other guy, I forget his name. Some of the Star Wars names escape me sometimes. And his is not an easy one. but she took from this guy who's trying to be like a new boss, like Jabba and others. So, Dryden, Voss, and those other types.
Yep. Crimson Dawn.
Yeah, which Crimson Dawn was actually mentioned as one of the major players in this
yes.
game. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of them, maybe seeing Kira. Possibly. That will be very
fun. Didn't we get a look at Kira?
Did we get a look at Kira?
I believe we did. If I'm not mistaken.
Really?
It's not really highlighted in the trailer.
I was going to say, I feel like I would remember seeing Emilia Clarke. I mean, Kira is Emilia Clarke, so that means that her likeness was in this train. Which is very possible.
Then I see a story.
People have the...
She returned without... Without Emilia Clarke, so it's like she's not in it, or something like that.
This was so it's like not the voice, or just it doesn't even look like her.
It does look like it's semi.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
This was in Game Informer.
All right. So I'm
Smart, finding out in real time.
Finding out in real time, people, give me a second. Yeah, no, that's Amelia Clark for sure. That is her likeness. She, so she is, yeah, this is via Game Informer. So she is in the game. That's new. That's new information, Kendall. Or new information for me. So that's low-key a game changer. You know, that, I think that's a big, we saw Jabba in the trailer.
Big get, yeah.
But Kira being in the trailer as well is big as well. So she is interacting with major players in the underworld. So that is very, very fun. Now, kind of, I gotta say, the graphics in this trailer, pretty sizable downgrade, I would say. I would say some of the things of seeing some of the dialogue and stuff, and some of the effects on Kay specifically, and I think with some of her interactions, like her jumping and stuff, it looked a little off. There was a slight but clear downgrade, in my opinion, from the gameplay that we saw, which isn't unusual in the gaming world.
Right.
But there was a downgrade. So I would be lying if I didn't say I was at least a little concerned that does not prove to be, end up being a bigger downgrade. Or maybe...
At launch.
Yeah, so the story looks good. It looks solid, you know, or it looks like what I would expect from a game like this. And I am gonna get it. I mean, it's a AAA Star Wars game. I'm gonna get it and play it. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about the graphics. I hope if they have to postpone, that they do so. that's probably my honestly that's my takeaway. Is if they need to postpone this for whatever, to touch up whatever things that I was able to see as someone that doesn't work in the game industry or anything, like just plays games. If I was able to see a downgrade in like that in a trailer like this, that tells me that they probably need to take more time. And I hope they take that time as opposed to just releasing a game that probably or may need more time.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think that, like you said, I mean, this is definitely a story trailer. Was not about the gameplay. It was all about the cinematic aspect of it. It's a little refreshing to have a game that releases the gameplay first and then the story stuff second. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's backwards. And
yes,
you say to yourself, "Oh, the story's cool, but like, what's the game? What's the actual game?" It's like we already know what the game looks like.
Yeah.
So this is more important
than what they want it to look like.
Right. Yeah, sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the refreshing side of what we've seen with this game so far. I mean, you know, we talked about it last time, and particularly because it was a gameplay trailer, I think it feels a little different now, but you know, I think one of the big, it wasn't an issue, but one of the questions we had was, why KVS? Why, mm-hmm. you know, in this scenario, could it not be customizable as your character?
Yes, exactly.
You know, you don't want to just say that because, you know, from our perspective, like, it's like, oh, we don't want to play with a female main character. But that, you know, because that's not exactly why it is. But
no, absolutely not.
You know, but I just feel like for that kind of, for this kind of story, it just seems very generic. Like, yes, you could argue Kyle Kestis, you could argue the same thing, but his story seemed a lot more specific. And it is, you know, a character that we've already mentioned since that, like, the character can transform, can transfer over into other mediums, whether it be animation, whether it be live action. And they casted a actor that we've already seen that has a fan base. I mean, we're fans of Cameron Monaghan, like, that could definitely transfer over into live action animation. Absolutely. So that would be the slight difference with Kyle Kestis. But again, with KVS, that would be my question is, you know, we got more in this trailer that made it seem like, you know, her character is going to have some depth and, you know, we're going to get some more there. But, you know, may have been a missed opportunity to. Now, as we know, with customization comes, like, you know, it makes it a harder game, you know, harder game to make, stuff like
of
that.
Of course, yeah.
You know, a lot easier for them. Yeah. You know, the simple answer is a lot easier.
And it's another element that can be criticized, I guess, if they want to just... Because a lot of people criticize customization. Like, if your customization isn't good...
Right, limited.
If it's limited, if it's like... I think I've even occasionally seen people say, oh, it's too much. I don't even know what to do.
Right.
You know, or like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know what... So, like, it is...
It's risky.
It's an added risk. So if they want to just remove that risk, we're just making a character. If Lucasfilm wants to do something with its character, they can do it later. And I'm sure we'll be able to customize her as well. Or I'd be surprised if we couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, even the limited customization in Jedi Fallen Order or Survivor, I would think we even have something like that, at least.
Right.
So we'll probably be able to customize her, but I would tend to agree. I think for a character like this in a story like this, if you want to have the character, I feel like you can have it both ways, honestly. I don't see why you can't do both. Where you can have, okay, this is the character's, like, base, you know, visual of what the character will look like if we were to bring the character into the comics or whatever. But if you want to customize the character to make it look however you want, you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's a good kind of, you know, you can kind of have it both ways. But if they had to pick one or the other, just make it customizable. This is a bounty hunter outlaw story that, you know, people are going to want to put a Mandalorian helmet and armor and stuff and a jetpack and all that. You know people are going to want to do that stuff.
Yeah.
So why can't you just let them do that?
Right.
You know, so you know you're going to want people that don't want to go look, people are going to want to look like Cad Bane. People are going to want to look all kinds of different ways. You know, people are going to want to customize.
Right.
People are going to want to be an alien. I want to be a Rodian. Right. Or whatever. Like, people are going to want to do that stuff, especially for a game like this, and for them to just not have that option, to just take that out, is a missed opportunity. And even if they say, oh, we want to use K-Vest in the future, and I'm just like, I'd be like, I don't know. I feel like we have several other K-Vest characters.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You know, like, we had, there's several other good K-Vest characters.
Kira,
there's the one from the, what's her name? Afra. There's Sana Staros. There's several other, like I said, there's several other K-Vest characters. We have several other K-Vest-like characters that are great, that have stories that are being expanded on.
Who is the girl from...
To be honest, you could have just put... Which one? That girl was like Lando's...
Oh, I meant the one that.
Oh, was her too.
Poe Dameron.
Well, both of them.
Yeah. Lando's daughter.
I mean, there's so many. Honestly, you could have just. I would have rather personally, and I don't know. Maybe it's just because there's a new character, and like I don't know. Whenever his new character is always at criticism or whatever. I would have been fine if they really wanted to make just this some kind of those. Just put one of them in this thing. Just grab one of them. Put their likeness in here.
If this was a Dr. Aphra game,
have the actor or actress do a voice.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah. And that's not, and we didn't, I mean, you know, I guess none of the Rebels characters fit, you know, like a glove here, but you could use one of them, obviously. So it's like, I mean, I think to me, I think it boils down to Lucasfilm likes to, I think they probably want to limit the customization just because of the story aspect. And they're big on canon and make sure everything lines up, and if everybody's got their own character, now that character just doesn't exist in their timeline anymore, you know? And this story becomes non-canon if you do that. And it's a video game. Like, at the end of the day, like, you know, what's more important? Like, do I need this? Like, I guess the Battlefront stuff is canon, I guess, but it's like, is it that important? Like, I feel like if it's that important... Now, I know the Jedi Survivor story is a little more interesting, but, like, something like Battlefront, like, Iden Versio, like, it's not, like, changing life, you know? It's not like, you know, if you would have told me that story was non-canon, I'd be like, what? So it's like, you know, I mean, this now, again, we haven't seen this story yet. Maybe the story can be so great that we're like, yeah, I'm glad that they, you know, kept this canon and they didn't mess with the story and they took it seriously, but... Like you said, for a lot of people, the playing with your own character could have been more interesting.
Yeah, and I would have much preferred that. And okay, maybe the character's story is either A, not canon, or B, not something that's, like, too important.
Right.
But maybe the events around the character are canon, right? Maybe there's other, you know, wars or underworld, you know, skirmishes and whatnot that are canon. You can say the events of the story are canon. You know, maybe they change with your choices, etc. But maybe the character remains nameless.
Right.
Right? Maybe, or you can add whatever name you want.
I don't know. And then they're doing Star Wars Eclipse. And that Eclipse, as far as we know, I mean, we're assuming that's going to be like a story-based, like,
yes,
you know, interactive game.
Yes.
Where it still changes and stuff like that. Like, that in and of itself is going to be an undertaking in terms of trying to, you know, balance canon with...
Which, like, I can't wait till we start getting any updates games on that.
You know, so... if that's, like, again, if Eclipse is going to be like other games from Quantic Dreams, that's not going to just 100% fit like a glove into canon. Nope. You know, there's going to be things that you have to sacrifice. So yeah, that's really the question. But I think I thought it looked good, you know. The story, again, they're bringing in characters like Jabba and Kira and, you know, stuff that makes sense for this space. I guess it's taking place, like, in the... it's hard to tell. I guess post... probably in between 3 and 4. I don't know.
This game takes place between Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, because you see Han Solo's in Carbonite.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
So, yeah, it takes place. So it's a good time period.
Right. And again, Kira showing up at that point. Have we seen Kira during that time period?
In books? That I'm not sure. I haven't read the Crimson Rain. I know she has a whole extensive series going into her kind of underworld, you know, things in running Crimson Dawn and such. So, but I'm not sure. But seemingly confirmed that she's around during this time. So
right.
But yeah, you know, looking forward to seeing what happens with Outlaws. It'll probably be, you know, $70, $80, however much they're charging now, and I'm probably gonna get it. Whatever deluxe pack they offer, I'm gonna buy. More than like, well, maybe not the deluxe. If the reviews are bad, then I probably won't get the deluxe. I'll still get it, but I probably won't get the deluxe. If the reviews are even passable, I'll get the deluxe. And you know, we'll see. I'll play it just like any other. We'll see how it is. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. It looks like a fun game. I'm looking forward to playing it. You know, my criticisms of the decision to go with this character aside, it does look like a fun game. And I hope for the best. I hope the character is awesome. I like her little, like, crew that she has. So I'm looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get it, play it, hopefully have a blast, and give you guys a review on this show as well. But Kennel, I think that's a good place to wrap. So as always, thank you all so much for listening. Our next show will probably be doing a Bad Batch review. So Kennel, you know, of course, is going to be catching up in the Bad Batch, and we'll be able to give you guys a season review and series review as well of the Bad Batch. I have some more High Republic novels to get through. I also want to try to catch up on the Star Wars comics, other Star Wars comics as well. I know a Mace Windu comic has, it may have actually, I don't know if it finished now. I don't think it has. But I know it has come out. I've been reading that. I want to talk about that a little bit as well. Being written by Mark Bernardin, Kennel.
Mark Bernardin.
Yeah, your guy.
Mark.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, Kennel.
New Generation Media.
He's a Star Wars guy. We should get him on the show.
Yeah, New Generation. Yeah, I mean, he's been on New Generation before.
He's been on New Generation before, Kennel.
So, yeah,
so, man. He's writing Star Wars content now. Mark Bernardin. So I'm reading it. It's good. It's Mace Windu of all people.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
And whatchamacallit, Samuel Jackson's been loud.
He has been
the last couple of months.
That would be something we'll be talking about as well. So hopefully that's something we can talk about. Because I have a lot to say.
Yeah, he's been loud.
As you would imagine.
He's banging the ruffling the cages.
I am glad he should, as he should. As he should.
Rattling the cages.
We've been rattling cages on this show. For years now we've been rattling cages. I have to hear so many other Star Wars fans and people, I don't want to see that. It's like, why? Why not? I didn't want to see Finn being all kind of meek and weak and not being able to do anything in the sequels.
Yeah.
Can Samuel L. Jackson come back?
Did you see Mace Windu was trending on Twitter this week?
Good.
There was some tweet that somebody put out. They were talking about black characters in sci-fi or something like that. Mm-hmm. And how they're all hated or something like that. And like it had Finn on there, had a couple other characters from shows. Trying to see if I can find the tweet, but generally though the response from people was the person deleted the tweet, which is funny. so I can't even find it, but the response from people was like, no one who hated Mace Windu. No one hated Mace Windu, Mace Windu thought he was a bad character.
Mace Windu was not hated whatsoever. he was probably, some people may have seen him as an obstacle in some of the movies.
Right, like, he may have been kind of annoying, especially with Anakin. Anakin stuff, but
he was not hated.
Yeah.
He was not like, oh, I hate this guy, I hate this guy so much. Like, no, right. Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
Like, who doesn't want to see Samuel L. Jackson in Star Wars? So, yeah, no, he was not hated. Yeah,
purple lightsaber. Like,
yeah, purple lightsaber. Cool, come on now. No, he was not hated. That's not real.
Yeah.
But we got to see more Mace Windu. I will continue banging that drum. I want to see more Mace Windu. Darth Maul came back. I don't want to hear anything about how it was a long fall. I don't want to hear it, Kendall, about how all the fall is so long and how did he survive. Darth Maul survived so much. Palpatine survived. All the stuff that he, come on now. It's Star Wars. It's fiction. It's Star Wars. 100%. You can bring him back. Yeah. He lost his arm. It took a tumble.
Yeah.
He can use
Darth Maul came back.
He can use the Force to soften the blow. Something. He landed on a car. Something. Come on. It was Coruscant. Right. He could have landed in someone's car. Like, there's something. You could come up with something. He doesn't have to be dead.
And we suspend disbelief for so much stuff.
Come on now.
We're willing to suspend disbelief when it allows us to bring back a major character. Whether it's a Darth Maul, whether it's a Palpatine, it's like, yeah, that's fine. We get to see Darth Maul again. I don't care.
Once you bring Darth Maul back,
right?
You can bring anybody back. Like, come on.
Again,
you can bring Mace Windu back.
Anakin, Obi-Wan fought Vader for a second time.
Yeah.
Did it make a lot of sense?
Didn't need to happen at all.
It probably didn't make a lot of sense. You know, probably didn't fit into what the original trilogy, intended. Not at all. Or the sequel or the prequel trilogy, but it was cool.
Yep.
It was a great moment.
We got Boba Fett running some town on Tatooine.
Right. Did that make any sense? For an entire season.
That didn't need to happen.
You know, probably not.
Riding a rancor.
But we got Boba Fett back.
Exactly.
He was supposed to be dead.
Yep.
We got him back. It was cool. It made sense. And just move on.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't have to be we didn't need the deepest explanation. Explain to me in very great detail how did Boba Fett survive.
Exactly. Doesn't matter. Yeah, come on now.
Not important. He's alive.
Not important. So, yeah, bring Mace Windu back. No excuse. You know, my only thing is if Samuel L. Jackson's willing to put in the work, you know, I know he's a little older in age.
Right. And
you know, if he's willing to put in the work to get in shape.
Yeah, at this point,
he's willing to work with those Disney people.
Like, he can't be... He'd have to be a hermit Mace Windu at this point. Like, he'd have to be like...
I'm willing to settle for any kind of Mace Windu.
Like a Nick Fury, you know, I'm kind of just standing around, you know, but he's not...
See, that's the only thing... The whole thing with Mace is he's an expert duelist. He's an expert... He is a bad mother
effer. Right. And so then the other aspect of it is...
Which, again, even in the prequels, it's not like his duel was, like, so, he was doing flips or nothing when he was fighting Palpatine.
Right.
It was pretty, like, okay, he's, you know, like...
So then that becomes... Now, we need to get him in live action, but maybe the caveat would be you get, like, a more of a prime Mace Windu, you get more of a look at Mace Windu in animation. You know?
That's fine.
You know, and you get that, and you get it in both mediums.
We got a little bit of that in Dooku.
Right. You got that with
Luke. Or in you know, Tales of the Jedi.
Right. You know, so but 100%, you know, and look, if Samuel Jackson is willing to, because again, like you said, there's plenty of characters where it's like, yeah, the action's not going to be super intense. You know, Luke Skywalker, I don't know if he had any lightsaber battles in the whatchamacallit, but all those guys, all the older crew, like, it makes sense, you know, just to bring Mace Windu back.
Yep.
And it's a layup, and the guy wants to do it. Like, how many times have we talked about on this show, like, when the actor said, I'm down, like, Ewan McGregor, man, for years, we were banging the drum.
Yes.
Get Ewan McGregor's publicly saying, I'll do it.
Yes.
Bring me back, I'll do it. And they weren't doing it, and we were like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
But eventually, they come to their senses and realize there's money on to be made here. And if this person wants to do it, that means we might be able to get him for a cheaper dollar than, you know, we would having to convince him to come out of retirement.
Yes. And you know what, Kendall? You know what? I'm going to be the petty one. I'm going to be I'm going to be that guy, Kendall. I'm going to start pulling cards out and being like, listen, Disney, you're claiming to be so you know, equitable and diverse, and all we want to represent all people, and we represent inclusion and all this stuff.
What happened to the woke Disney stuff?
And then you have, you know, the most powerful, you know, and quite frankly, one of the only, which is another conversation, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
One of the only Black Jedi to be shown, by far the coolest and most popular one.
Yeah.
And he's saying he wants to come back. Yeah. And you bring back Darth Maul, you bring back Obi-Wan, you bring back Palpatine.
Yeah.
You bring back all these people that had no reason, that had no business even coming back after what they experienced. And Mace Windu, Samuel L. Jackson, who is the most popular of all the most
successful. Yeah, biggest actor easily, of all these people.
Easily the most successful and most popular of all these people.
Yeah.
And you won't bring him back?
When he's asking to come.
When he's saying, I want to do it. I will help y'all make as much money as you want, and you won't bring him back? Right. I'm looking at Disney funny.
Right.
If they don't bring him back. I am. I'm sorry.
Because there's a...
I am looking at them funny.
There's about 5 different properties that they could have brought Mace Windu back at this point. Whether it be from the original trilogy or for the prequel or for the sequel trilogy, that they could have said, you know, he's in. He could have been in Mandalorian. You know, he could have been in Obi-Wan. Like, he could have been in any of these joints.
Samuel L. Jackson is someone, he says he'll be in your property, you find a way to put him in. Right. He's not someone where you all bop. I don't know about
he could have been
where
in
I can fit him in. No, Samuel L. Jackson says, I want to be in your property.
That becomes...
It's, where are we putting him in?
And it's like we said when we were talking about, you know, the question of why are we making this show? Like, he's the kind of guy that, like, you make a show...
He's the why.
Yeah, you make a show so that we can get the return of Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, it's like, boom.
You put that in the trailer, and that's breaking the internet.
That's it.
That's absolutely breaking the internet.
Come on now.
That's transcending the Star Wars fan base. That's transcending
and he's culture. And he's crossing generations too. 100%. A lot of older fans who like you said enjoy like Luke and Han and such. They also love Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes,
he was a big actor during that time, like going into like the 90s and early 2000s and such.
And again, those people that may not love the prequels.
Loved Samuel L. Jackson.
He's like Obi-Wan in that sense.
Yes.
He's got an almost great, got an almost perfect approval. Like, his character was not likable.
Even if they hated the prequels. Right. They liked Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
Talk to those people about what they didn't like. Samuel L. Jackson is not what they didn't like.
Right.
So, Samuel L. Jackson and his purple lightsaber is not what they didn't like about the prequels.
Right.
So, he crosses generations.
Right.
There will be no issue with, oh, I don't want to see more Samuel L. Jackson. What is he doing here?
Right.
And again, if there is, I'm looking at y'all funny.
Right.
So it's weird. So I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about how it's too late. Where are we going to put him in? And where are we going to... No. There's plenty that of stuff. They don't seem intent on leaving this, you know, Age of Rebellion, Age of the Empire, whatever. They don't seem intent on leaving that generation anytime soon. There's plenty of content coming out in that time period. There's no reason not include him. You could just put him in something. Put him in any of them. Any of them.
Yeah.
And or any of them. There's plenty of things coming out. Ahsoka Season 2. The Mando movie. You could put him in something. There's no way that we could find something to put him in. There's plenty of things to put him in. He's saying he wants to be put in. He is more than... Again, my only thing is, if he's willing to put in the work, they may have to have their conversation. Are you willing? Are they're going to take? You are going to take time out of your schedule, probably to get a little leaner, right? Probably to, you know, you're going to get doing the mocap again. You're going to have all the dots, and we're probably deep faking a younger, you know, once or twice or whatever. Right, right. You know, like, you know, again, all that stuff that he's probably willing to do, I would think.
He's done how many Marvel movies? Like, those joints are insane, man. Like, those
are like, he looked great. Like you said, he looked great in Captain Marvel or whatever. Right. Like,
Secret Invasion.
That's not going to be a problem. So, they should find a way to put him in. I know I just went on a rant.
And he's not worried about quality, clearly. Because, again, he did Secret Invasion. He did the Marvel.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, come on now.
Like, he's willing to take one for the team.
Yeah, come on. He's willing to be involved. So, you know, they should put him in. I know I just went on a rant. We can have a we will, honestly, have a larger discussion about this topic. As it continues in later shows. But, you know, obviously, for the record, we think Mace Windu should be brought back. I think it looks weird for Disney to not bring him back. It makes him look funny in the light. I'm just gonna
make a story. I don't want to hear there's no story. It's like the Obi-Wan stuff. It's like Pablo Hidalgo talking about, oh, there's no story there. Catching flies, swatting flies,
very lazy.
Make a story.
Yeah, very lazy.
Well, if Ewan McGregor wants to be in Disney, he wants to be in a Star Wars thing, make a story up.
Yeah, you can make it. Very lacking creativity.
If you say, oh, there's no story with Mace Windu, make one.
Yeah, there's...
Like, Bob Iger's got to step in and be like, this Samuel Jackson just called me.
Do a Google search. I guarantee you there's thousands that have been written.
Yeah. Just go on Reddit.
Google
Mace Windu fan fiction.
Yeah, it's
out there.
There's plenty. There's plenty of stories that you can tell.
If Samuel Jackson called up Bob Iger and said, "Hey Bob, I want to be in a Star Wars something. Just put me in a Star Wars show. I'll be in a scene. I want to do."
Bob might be that. Bob might be a little. I don't know if he has Bob's number. Hopefully,
he can get in contact with Bob Iger.
I mean, hopefully.
I'm not saying that they're friends, but I'm saying if he needed to get in contact,
if he was like desperate,
I'm not saying he'll give him a board spot on the board or anything like that.
Just to have a conversation, that's a 5-minute conversation. Yeah, just a
conversation about, hey, he's in all these Marvel movies.
But, yeah, that's a good point.
I'd be like, yo, I've done how many movies for you, made you all this money?
Yeah.
But, like, if he got on the phone and said, yo, you know, I'm in The Incredibles, I'm in Marvel, I want to be Mace Windu again, just one more time. If I'm Bob Iger, I'm calling up Kathleen Kennedy, I'm calling up Dave Filoni.
Amen.
And I'm saying, figure it out. I don't want to hear there's no story. Figure it out.
And it's weird because they're both like of the age that they know they know Samuel L. Jackson. Like, why are they having trouble?
Right. Filoni.
Why are they, of all people,
having
some kind of issue?
Filoni used Mace Windu a lot.
He used him a lot.
In the Clone Wars.
Mace Windu was all over the place.
You know?
So that's why, again, it's weird. I don't know where the hang-up is. I don't know what the issue is.
Unless Samuel Jackson lying. Unless he says, but like he's got a crazy number that he wants to come back to, or
he's got some kind of crazy. The number he wants is just so astronomical.
Yeah, he's like, well, hey, I'll do $20 million for one episode.
Yeah, you know, his agent is just like just crazy and just wants some crazy astronomical.
Like, clearly,
number.
It's not a problem for Marvel. Like, this dude was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., man. He was in, right. I think, multiple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
you mean to tell me we can't get him in anything?
Yeah, and that was like at this peak.
Yeah, honestly. that was in his prime. He was on a network television show, not even streaming.
Yeah,
streaming on ABC. Ah, man.
So I don't know. So we'll see. You know, he should come back. We will be continuing to discuss this as the opportunity comes. But hopefully they put him in something. So yeah, look forward to that. Look forward to our Bad Batch review, and look forward to some of my like book and comic reviews, and any other trailers and stuff that drops. We also have Star Wars. Do we have Celebration this year, or is that next year? No, that's next year, right?
Yeah, Japan.
Yeah, so we have Celebration is next year, so we don't have one this year, but we do, of course, have Star Wars Day, coming.
Comic-Con
as well. So there will no doubt be more.
Star Wars Day, I believe, is the release for
Tales of the Empire. Yeah, so we should be able to talk about that as well. So we may be reviewing that as well as Bad Batch 2, so we'll see. So yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. So please be on the lookout for that. Again, thank you all so much for listening. I'm your host, Shamari, joined by Kendall. We will see you guys next time. You'll get through, just make the force be with you.